Deborah LaBelle. Deborah is a human rights attorney. Deborah, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for your time this morning. The human rights of children, sentencing juveniles to possibly die in prison. The Juvenile Justice Clinic will host a panel on natural life sentences for youth. This is a pretty sensitive topic. Tell us about this.
Well, one of the reasons for the panel now is that Michigan is the second in the nation, or rather in the world, but to in terms of the number of children they sentence to life without any possibility of release in adult prison. So the issue has become quite sensitive, as you say, because the Supreme Court has recently outlawed the sentence as unconstitutional for youth who are not involved in homicide crimes, and in about a week they're taking up the question of whether it would be cruel and unusual punishment to do this to children who are involved in homicide crimes.
The University of Michigan's Law School's Juvenile Justice Clinic will convene a panel on a pivotal but seldom examined human rights issue in criminal justice. And, you know, Deborah, this is a sensitive issue, because when someone takes the life of someone else, it almost seems to some to be fair, to just, to put that person away, not only to pay for what they did, but also to make sure that the possibility of this happening again doesn't occur. How do you respond to that?
Well, in three ways. One, about half of the children who are serving the sentence did not themselves commit a homicide. They were the lookouts, they were the aiders and the abettors. And in Michigan, if you are involved in a felony and someone else, and in this case, most often adults, take a life, you get the exact same sentence. So you're also talking about a lot of children who were drugged along by adults and themselves did not commit a homicide. And the second thing is that we have many people who commit homicides, adults, second-degree murder, it's called, and they have the possibility to get out on parole after 15 years. What we're saying is that youth who do even commit homicides, their personalities, their brain development is not even fully formed, as we know as parents, and we don't have to be psychologists or doctors to know that children are different than adults, and that who they are at 13, 14, 15 is not necessarily who they will be as an adult. And what everyone is asking for reform of this is just say you have to look at them when they've matured to determine whether, in fact, they can have changed, they have been rehabilitated, and they are safe to come out and rejoin society.
Deborah, how does the law see this? How does the law see a adult versus a child committing a murder?
In Michigan, which is only one of nine states that does this, they automatically treat a child 14 and up involved in a homicide as if they were an adult. So there's this sort of pretense in the law that if you're 14, 15, 16, 17, the law will presume that you're an adult if you're involved in a homicide. And if you're convicted, you get the exact same sentence as an adult. And so there's never a consideration about whether you were brought along by an adult, whether you were forced into this, whether there was peer pressure, whether you had a bad family environment, whether you were a child that made a serious error in judgment. The judges don't even get to consider that in sentencing. It's a mandatory sentence of life without any possibility of parole.
Before I let you go, curious to know what other crimes have been committed by children that got them in prison for life?
Well, it has to be involving some homicide. As I said, about half of the children in Michigan, and there are 360 who are serving this sentence right now, were the lookouts in an armed robbery, for example, or went along but themselves did not commit a homicide. So there does have to be a death involved, but it doesn't have to be a death that they themselves committed, or a homicide they committed, or a carjacking or an arson. any of those crimes that are very serious crimes, admittedly. But the issue is whether we should recognize, as we do in the civil law, that children under the age of 18 aren't as responsible. We don't let them drive till they're 16. We don't let them vote till they're 18, do contracts, anything that we think requires responsible thinking. We make a distinction between adults and children, and we should do the same in the criminal justice system.
You know, and always in these types of situations, the people who suffer the most, of course, are the victims and the victims' families. I know that they probably want the most strict sentence available. How do you respond to that?
Well, there are a lot of victim families who also support reform, who recognize that sometimes the victims are the families themselves. You know, the child has committed a homicide or been involved in a homicide of a parent or a family member. So the victims and the families are one and the same. But we have many victims who support punishment of children, but also recognize that sometimes these are kids from very troubled homes and that the punishment shouldn't be death in prison for a child.
A Juvenile Justice Clinic panel will be from 7 to 9 o'clock. This is Monday, March 19th, 7 to 9 o'clock at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. It's at the South Hall. For more information, people can just go to the University of Michigan's website. Should be fascinating. We've been talking with Deborah LaBelle. She's a human rights attorney. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for yours.